John Coltrane on Indie on the Air today. That's Bill Laswell's remix with Carlos Santana's guitar. Carlos is in town tonight. This is Stephen Starr, and you are listening to Indie on the Air. It's a Monday, and we are here taking care of business for Casey and Matt, who are out of town now. I'm here with Chris Burnett.
Hey, how you doing?
Great. Great to have you, Chris. We're here to talk about indie media, but not just any day about indie media. We're not going to reach across the entire network today. We're going to do something very, very specific. We are going south of the border, folks. In fact, we're going pretty far south of the border. There is a Cancun WTO gathering later on this summer, and there are thousands, if not tens of thousands, of, if not hundreds of thousands, of people gathering from around the world to protest the incredibly difficult terms that are being negotiated with the undeveloped nations by the WTO. So what's happening is that Indie Media, of course, plans on being there. Today we have a special report from the temporary Indie Media that's being set up as we speak in Honduras. In fact, we're on the phone with them in just a moment or two. It's being set up in anticipation of the Cancun WTO. And the goal of the setup for the Indie Media in Honduras right now is to start media trainings. And those media trainings are going to be with indigenous and campesino organizations, and they'll be training them in radio, video, and news reports. This is these are people who do not have media skills who are joining with the temporary training module down in Honduras, and they're going to learn how to do journalism, indie media style. This means that they'll be covering the events from their perspective and participating in what will be a massive alternative media convergence. Now, the folks that are involved for this training include some people from Indie Media. It's not all Indie Media, but some of them are. And on the phone with us now, we have Timo Russo. Timo, are you there?
Hi, yeah, I'm here, Steven.
It's great to have you on the air.
Hey, Timo, what's up? This is Chris.
Hi, Chris.
Timo is a indie journalist and a photographer. He's a correspondent for Free Speech Radio News. You've heard Timo's voice on KPFK's airwaves. Timo, why don't you tell us a little bit about what you guys are doing down there?
There's a group of three of us, myself and Luis Ruiz and Paco Vasquez, all from Chiapas Indie Media in southern Mexico. Right now we're taking a few days in Honduras to help some training for local coverage of 3 days of forums that will be taking place here in Honduras in the department of Intuica, which has been an area that traditionally indigenous and also heavily repressed with quite amount of international interest in water dams and biological diversity in this area. So three of us come south to look at some opportunities to do some media training with people from the local organizations here, from the support bases, from the indigenous base, to help set up a small FM transmitter and a radio station that will be in the hands of the people here in Honduras, an organization called COPIN. And we're using this as a bit of a springboard, actually, towards the WTO meetings in September, between the 10th and the 14th of September in Cancun, Mexico, on the isthmus, on the peninsula there, where we hope to have other similar trainings, but in a much larger, more global sense, inviting many people from support-based organizations and indigenous organizations from Mexico, as well as Central America and Latin America, to share skills, experiences, build work together, and transmit and cover from their perspective what they see during the WTO meetings, the protests, the counter-demonstrations, the what we call the alternative forums that are being set up, the forum of the people.
I know this is a pretty much of a meatball question, but why do you think we even need to put together a alternative media convergence down there and train people for it?
Sorry, we've got not the best connection here.
I'll give it a go. I'm sorry. Did you hear the question, Timo?
Yeah, we heard why do we think it's important to offer alternative media?
That was it.
Obviously, what we're seeing these days around the world, and some of the examples that you have in the opening of the program, what about the coverage in Iraq? What about the coverage of such and such or the other, is an increasing huge amount of control in the hands of the corporations and the governments of media and information on the whole. One of the things that's very important around Cancun that will be discussed there is in the cultural exception, a law that's being discussed, an international law that will be created by the WTO that's no representing government whatsoever, on audiovisual content, which essentially will begin to limit that much further the public's access to public domain. That can be public domain on the internet, that can be public domain as far as the public airwaves, radio, corporate control of the radio waves, and obviously public access to television, which is already hugely limited, something that's being discussed with many groups in the United States as well as in Latin America, Europe and other areas, is how can the people begin to reclaim the media and put our perspective and not just the corporate or the government perspectives out there so that we're really representing the interests of the people and not just of enterprise.
Let me clarify something with you, Timo. Are you saying this is a media-based proposal that's coming into the WTO?
No, this is legislation that the WTO, underneath of this guy's the cultural exception, that they will be discussing there. It's not, as far as I know, it's not a media-provoked discussion, but rather a corporate-provoked discussion.
And their position is?
Their position is to limit the access to the public that much more and create the guidelines or the international legislation, which would then force local governments, be it Honduras, be it Mexico, be it the United States, or Argentina, or Burma, to buckle underneath of that pressure, which won't allow more public access to public domain, to those airwaves, to those public radio or public stations, radio or television, et cetera, et cetera.
Timo, this is Chris.
Hi, Chris.
I'm wondering what can you talk a little bit about what it's like to do these media projects in Honduras and the environment down there, and maybe a little bit about why the folks down there are interested in this, and is doing media in Honduras dangerous for the people who are in these communities?
I think doing media, independent, alternative, and the people's media in Honduras, sure, it could pose a threat to the people, but it's a threat to them that they're willing to take because of the sort of threats that are already imposed on them, the sorts of repression that's already represented by the corporations, by the governments, to keep them from organizing in the way that they've been organizing. It can pose a threat in the sense that maybe repercussions come to some of the organizations because the government, international corporations that have been pressurizing them, that want to build dams here, can see the usefulness of the people controlling their own media or their own communications and see the usefulness of that as a coordination tool, an organizing tool. Through the morning this morning, which was the first day of our workshops here in Honduras, we did a bit of an analytical and a diagnostic process. We looked at who is owning the local media, who runs the local media on a city level as well as a department level and a national level, what the interests of those people are that are investing in that, and what it would mean for the people to have their own media here. For them, what it means to have their own media is that they can reclaim their culture in a certain sense. The culture in this area where we are is the Lenca indigenous people, and it's been a culture that's been pretty heavily battered by the conquest from 500 years of occupation of these territories. And much of the language is not spoken any longer. Much of the traditions have been lost. With the sort of radio that's transmitted by the local radio stations, they were identifying that people start to look at the Mexican rancheros from the north of Mexico as sort of the main music, and there's not that much traditional music that goes out on the radio with. Having their own media means that they can begin to talk, reclaim their oral history, their oral tradition through the radio, tell stories from the perspective of the elders, look at medicinal health treatments, traditional knowledge and medicinal herbs, how those can be used, especially because many of these people and communities are from very, very remote and rural communities where you may have one doctor for every 5,000, 6,000, maybe even 10,000 people. It's very difficult to have access to medicine. Communication means that you can get communication about traditional means, historically, how the communities had organized in an autonomous way. It means that they can do promotional shows on the Convenio 169 from the Organization of International Agreements, which is indigenous rights, self-determination, and autonomy. It doesn't allow for things like the Plan Puebla Panama mega project to come in and just take over land without having inherent consultations or plebiscites essentially with the indigenous communities that go through local assemblies and discussion process in a very consensual manner before deciding whether or not they're going to cede certain territories to X type of development project. So media in the hands of the people from an autonomous perspective, from an indigenous perspective, is very, very powerful. So it poses a threat to the corporations. It poses a threat to the government to a certain degree that the government is opening the way for international corporations to come in and exploit the land and the people. Honduras is fairly well known for the amount of maquiladoras or export processing areas and factories that they have here. This is much the sort of thing that programs like the Plan Puebla Panama want to replicate all throughout Central America, southern part of Mexico. And much of this legislation is the sort of legislation and discussions that will be taking place in Cancun at the WTO, the World Trade Organization, in September. So much of what we're trying to do from an indie media and alternative media perspective and from a people's perspective is see what we can do to get the tools of communications and popular communications into the hands of the folks that have really been marginalized from communications processes, people that have been very reliant on trying to find a good journalist or a trustworthy journalist that can offer their perspective in a sort of unfiltered fashion. Unfortunately, the corporate media, as we know in the States, as well as south of the border, east or west of the United States borders, corporate interests really drive a lot of the editorial positions that we see in, or hear on the radio or on the TV or in print.
Timo, is it understood that right now in Honduras there is little, if any, independent media? Is that correct?
And through the analysis and diagnostics that we did this morning time, at least on a local level in the Intulica department, which is one of several departments here or states in Honduras, they didn't identify one single independent media structure or media outlet for the people. What the local organization COPIN does have is for the last, I believe, 8 years, they've had a one-hour program on a local commercial radio station where they've really been able to have a huge impact on organizing their communities and getting information out to their communities. So with a mere 1 hour of their voice going out over the radio waves, they've had a huge impact on organizing their indigenous rights, their rights to lands, their culture, et cetera, getting people to mobilize, even getting upwards to close to 2,000 people they're expecting on local levels to come and participate in the week-long forums and discussions that will be taking place this week. They've been able to do most of that organizing via a one-hour radio program and then trips out to local communities and in assemblies where people will walk 3, 4, 5, 6, 10 hours from their community into another community that is close proximity to 4 or 5 communities and have an assembly of 200, 300, 400 people. I had this very same experience a year and a half ago when I first came to Honduras to meet with folks in these communities. We were having a talk about the free trade area of the Americas, again, another huge topic that will be discussed during the WTO in Cancun. And we spoke on the radio here on a Friday and went to a community the very next day. 300 people showed up for the discussion there from 5 different communities in 2 different departments and had walked 5 to 6 hours to come and speak with us. And we were 3 people from, 2 people from Indie Media Chiapas, 1 person from Indie Media Switzerland. They were very apologetic. They didn't have 3 times the amount of people there because they had only received the announcement the very day before. And they said, had that announcement gone out several times for the days prior to that on this one-hour radio program, then they would have had double or triple the amount of people coming to that because there was a huge amount of interest, just not enough time to organize at that short notice to get there. So radio is very powerful. The media in the hands of the people here is extremely powerful and a huge organizational tool.
Will you be leaving behind resources when you folks move on?
Yeah, from here, what we are discussing with people from the local organization is to establish a small FM radio station that will be run here by the folks. It'll be one of the first indigenous radio stations in this region. It'll be solely controlled by the communities. It'll be, in theory, a mobile unit, so there'll be consensus making and a sort of a rotation of tareas or of jobs that people need to do so that you've got trainings going on by the people that we train now, and then they'll begin to train people in the other communities as that transmitter will begin to make its way through the different departments. It's very difficult, obviously, to have a huge 10,000-watt transmitter in this area. So we're looking at small transmitters, micro power, and then a very democratic way to have that circulate among the different communities that pertain to this organization. Like I said, that covers five different departments here, so it's a huge geographical area that a small transmitter can't cover from one point. So it will take turns going through different communities. So we plan on leaving that behind, and the education and the experience that we can exchange now at this point as well. So there'll be some other tools. There'll be some video-making tools, cameras, and I'll let actually Luce in a couple minutes talk a little bit more about the project here in Honduras, and maybe I can address some questions that folks might have about the WTO organizing in Cancun.
Well, as we understand it, the organizing in Cancun is going to be preceded by a rather massive mobilization towards an alternative media convergence. Perhaps you could tell us what the dates of that are, for maybe some of our listeners are interested in being part of that, and perhaps you could tell us what the intention of the convergence is.
Yeah, right now for Cancun, there's been a huge amount of national organizing going on in Mexico. Obviously, a huge amount of international organizing going on with organizations like Our World Is Not For Sale, with organizations, local networks in Mexico, the networks against free trade agreements, and a series of different Latin American organizations, organizations from the Philippines represented by Walden Bello and others as well. So we see a huge amount of organizing going on towards Cancun. What's this mean? Essentially, it means that numbers are somewhat arbitrary at this point. It's hard to say exactly how many people might converge on Cancun to manifest their dislike and their contempt towards the World Trade Organization and its inherently undemocratic decision-making policies and politics. There could be anywhere from 10,000, there could be anywhere to 50,000 people converging on Cancun. We're not sure about that because it's very difficult, like I say, to really concretize numbers at this point. There's still a month and a half, 2 months to go before folks get there. What we are looking at as events that are fairly well-defined and consensus upon with different international and national organizations are a few different days of action. When we talk about action, we're talking about marches, specific marches, to get out there, to get into the streets, to have people, the world know that the re-globalization movement, as I like to call it, the movement for an inclusive globalization and not a corporate globalization is very much alive and didn't die when the war in Afghanistan or when September 11th took place. So actually, much of these questions are going to be brought into Cancun as well. The ninth events really start. There'll be some marches, demonstrations, alternative forums will begin then. As I mentioned before, the Forum of the Peoples will begin there. We're expecting thousands and thousands of people from Latin America, from the Global South, from Europe, from the United States, Canada, and other areas to come and discuss different issues. There's 2 days of women's forums from the 8th and the 9th. The 9th, a global day of action. The 13th will be the second day of global days of action, and it'll be a day of mourning as well. It'll be a day of remembrance for what happened on September 11th in the United States, but also a day to remember what happened September 11th in Latin America, in Chile, with the coup of Pinochet and the ousting of Allende. September 11th is very symbolic to Latin America in a lot of ways, not just in Chile, but in many other countries. There have been several very serious events that have taken place, mainly led by the CIA and the United States government, United States interest in Latin America on September 11th. So it's going to be a day of global mourning, not for just what happened in the United States, but for what's happened in other areas as well. It'll be also a day of mobilization against the politics of the World Trade Organization and against free and unfair trade. So those are some of the actions that people are looking at there, and some of the things that we're working on from an indie media or an independent media perspective is really how to organize to cover some of these events from an alternative perspective, from a people's perspective, from an independent perspective, where what we're doing is taking into account the interests of the movements and the people. Very much what indie media stands for around the world is everyone's a correspondent. We all have the opportunity to to represent ourselves and represent our movements and cover our movements, cover our protests, and not to focus on if there's a broken window somewhere that probably was broken by some sort of provocateur just to get into the press and discredit a very largely pacifist but direct protest against the politics that are driving the sort of injustices that we see around the world.
You know,
One of the things that we're organizing is an alternative media and alternative tech convergence the day it's just prior to the World Trade Organization protest. One of the things that we're looking at there, as Indie Media, as several other organizations that are participating in this, is how do we do good preparation to really get the tools and the skills into the hands of the people from the movement, much like what we're doing here in Honduras right now. We're trying to work with folks so that they can cover their own events, so they can cover things that are happening here locally, so they can create their own media. We're looking at how can we do that in Cancun as well. So one of the things we'll be doing is inviting many of the organizations that are coming here to Honduras now to Cancun, that will be going there anyway, but in a very solid, practical thing. Let's build alternatives while we're there. Let's build alternative media while we're there in Cancun. We're not just out there to protest, but we want to show that there's a huge amount of alternatives that already exist that don't get fair play in the corporate media.
It's basically skill sharing. It's skill sharing and knowledge building, as I understand it, yeah?
That's right. It's skill sharing, it's knowledge building, it's experience sharing. It's really bridging the technological divide between South and North as well. It's saying, hey, this is what works for us in the South. Radio is tremendously powerful here. And the Internet, you know, really isn't that useful for us because most of our communities don't have Internet. Most
right.
of them don't have electricity, much less a telephone connection, much less a computer that they can use, et cetera, et cetera. So let's work with what works for us instead of feeling like we have to, again, submit to this dominant paradigm, even in alternative realms, where sometimes in the North people tend to have a feeling that we know what the answers are for lots of other areas.
Yeah.
So it's a real listening time as well for North-South relations also.
Yeah, yeah, and keep those solutions local. I think for our listeners, they should know that some of the groups from up north that may be familiar to people that are going to be down at the convergence include Greenpeace and Paper Tiger and Deep Dish and Prometheus Radio and Media Act, and a lot of good organizations are going to be coming together to do that. You know, before we go on to Luce, and I'd like you to hand the phone to her if you could, Timo, just for a couple of minutes, we're going to talk about the initiative down in Honduras a little bit more. I just want the listeners to know that there is right now being planned up north, there is a mega mobilization against the mini-ministerial. This is the WTO mini-ministerial that's taking place in Montreal from July 28th to July 30th. You know, there are those here in Los Angeles who traveled up to Montreal last time, and I'm sure there's a crew of people interested in finding out more about that. If you go to Indie Media, to our global site, www.indiemedia.org, you can find out all about the plans that are underway for this mini-ministerial that's taking place up in Montreal at the end of this month. And there's a teach-in on July 26th. There's a huge march for the rights of indigenous people and immigrants and refugees on the 27th. There'll be some mass mobilizations up there on July 28th and 29th. And there's going to be, and I know this is the fun part, an anti-capitalist carnival on July 30th. If you want more information, you can go to our global indie media site at indiemedia.org. Or you can go to montreal.resist.ca. Luce, are you on the phone with us?
Hi.
Welcome. Welcome to KPLK.
Hi, Luce.
Thank you. I would like to talk a little bit about what's going on here in Honduras. I'm actually in the offices of the FOPIN, which is the Civic Council of Indigenous and Popular Organizations of Honduras. This is an organization here that has been organizing for several years and has been working for indigenous rights and culture. And they're in the midst of preparing for what they're calling a sort of like actions and towards resistance, and this consists of three events from the 17th to the 24th of July. The first event will be the second forum against dams called For Water and Life, which they're basically going to touch upon different experiences of Central American countries regarding water privatization and different experiences and problems regarding dam construction. So this will be the first forum. The second one will be the third week of biological and cultural diversity. The first week has taken place in Chiapas, Mexico, and it's a gathering of also Central American people from Mexico, Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, Nicaragua, Panama, just a whole range of different organizations that are talking about water, agrotoxics, about biodiversity, about land, rights for indigenous peoples, food security, all sorts of different issues that everybody has been working on and has been trying to develop different alternatives and strategies to work together to sort of respond to these problems. And the third event will be more of a local festivity. One is going to be a march that's going to take place to celebrate one of the sort of like main historical figures here, which is his name? Lempira is the name of their sort of like leader here. So there's going to be a big march towards Tegucigalpa, the capital here of Honduras. And there people will converge in what is going to be a forum to talk about the Plan Puebla Panama. And we're here as Indie Media. We've been sort of helping the people here organize different things regarding communications and media. Right now we're taking a break from a workshop with the popular communicators here from the Copin. It's different people from different communities from the region that want to learn a little bit of how to, what is independent media, alternative media, and how that can support and make stronger their organizing process as an organized group. And so we're trying to have a little workshop on basic news writing and how to present those the news also in the radio, because radio here has been used very powerfully from the organization. And so that's something previous that that's with the idea that these popular communicators will be able to also cover whatever is going on in the three different forums that I mentioned before.